Hello, everyone. This is Will.
This is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. We need to...
So...
This was such a bad idea.
This was horrible.
This is such a bad idea.
But we're in it. We have to finish it. But I just want to say something.
Okay, go ahead. Because
I was like, yeah, I'm so excited for the next, like, podcast. We're going to watch some fun, like, we're going to watch something fun.
I ruined it for him.
And then Will texts me, like, well, we got to watch Blood Rain 2. And I was like, oh, fuck!
You forgot we were doing a shitrospective.
I forgot, dude.
So, yeah, just we're continuing with fucking Uwe bullshit.
I was so excited, and then, oh my god. Fuck this movie. Fuck this fucking movie.
Yeah, fuck it so hard. I don't know how, well, I do know how, lower budget, because Uwe,
yeah,
the fucking shitlord, didn't have the fucking government backing.
The tax scheme to ended.
To make this movie. So he had to rely on other means to fund this movie and couldn't get the funding.
Yeah, so it's cheap. It is cheaper.
So, tonight, we watched the sequel
to
our favorite vampire movie.
Yeah, the best vampire movie, yeah.
The greatest vampire movie Ben Kingsley has ever been in.
I mean, he's been in so many. Ray Liotta
plays Liberace.
No, that's... You're thinking of Dungeon Siege.
Oh my god, I am. I'm mixing Uwe bullshit.
You're mixing up shitty medieval Uwe Boll movies.
Sorry, but Ben Kingsley was in the first... We watched Blood Rain 2. Blood Rain Deliverance.
Yeah, Blood Rain 1 did have Billy Zane as Liberace, though.
Oh, you're right. Billy Zane.
For one Liberace. Scene.
Yeah, okay.
Until he peaced out.
I mixed up my Billies.
Fuck it.
Well, we get another Billy in this one, though.
Yeah, it's not quite right, but it's fine.
It's not right at all. Not quite right is an understatement.
I mean, I hate it.
Okay, so I was going to say, before I said the title, I understand how this happened, but
do you?
I don't know how, on planet Earth, Uwe Boll has made a film, a sequel, that is, like, so much worse than the first one.
Because the first one's already a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, but at least the first one has, like, some shit you can laugh at. Like, it's like...
That's the thing. It's
like, ridiculously just stupid.
This is just boring.
This movie just, like, it didn't do anything for me.
It's just boring.
It doesn't satisfy on any level. It's just like, here's this fucking bland-ass Western movie that happens to have vampires in it.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Because this is barely a vampire movie.
You could tell that Uwe just wanted to make a Western film.
Or they had a Western script.
Yes. He found a Western script that was thrown away
in the garbage.
In a producer's trash bin.
Yeah.
Or a writer's trash bin, and was like, you know what? This is
vampires.
Good. Like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to add vampires to it. Call it Blood Rain Deliverance. I'll make a trillion dollars.
Yeah. Like, someone wrote a shitty Pat Garrett Billy the Kid movie, and Uwe Boll was like, I got it. Billy the Kid's a vampire. And then someone else was like, okay, what next? And Uwe Boll was like, I don't understand the question.
He's just like, wait, what?
There should be more?
Wait, I don't think you heard me the first time. We're doing Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid and vampires.
And that chick from Blood Rain's back in it.
And you know what will be really cool? What's going to be really awesome? Everyone will die in slow motion.
You know, I saw this
every movie. Single
every
person,
yeah.
Even the bad guys, the good guys, it doesn't matter. Insignificant characters that you have, like, literally don't care one single, like, you don't care at all about them, mm-hmm. will die in slow mo. Oh, and characters you just meet will die a few minutes later, and you're supposed to care for some reason, even though they've literally had zero character development.
And they die in slow motion.
And they die in slow motion.
Bro, some of them don't even get an introduction.
I know.
They're just like...
We never know the fucking name of the sleazebag until the credits.
Yeah, they're just like, this guy is ours. And then we're like, what? Who? What the fuck?
And we're like, they're like not charismatic. There's not... Ultimately, everything in this film is entirely forgettable, which I guess is a saving grace for us, because I never have to think about this movie ever again.
That's true. It won't stay.
Maybe we should quit ranting and start actually doing the movie review, though.
This might be a short one, because...
I don't know. There's not a lot here, to be honest. There's not a lot to unpack here, because, like, it's a movie, clearly, obviously, but, like... But it's not much of one. That's all I'm trying to say.
Ah, such standards, like, Will.
Like, obviously, what we got here.
Uwe Boll made a movie.
We got ourselves a movie, but my God. It just, I don't know. This one, it was a weird one, because I didn't even, like, I couldn't even, like, laugh at it. Like, I couldn't, there's nothing substantial at all.
No.
Not even, like, oh, it's shitty, so let's make fun of it kind of thing.
There's nothing to grasp onto.
Like, at least with other bad movies, you have...
Like, other
this,
movies
like,
on this
ridiculous,
podcast?
Ridiculous, like, stupid shit going on, and you're like, that's really... Let's pick apart this and, like, make fun of it, and, like,
yeah.
That's fun, because you can laugh about it
yeah.
while you're making fun of the movie
but
while
it's,
playing.
But even then, it can be fun.
But this took the joy out of all of that.
No, it's just...
It's just a wet blanket. That's what this movie is, just a wet blanket.
It's because the whole thing is shot with fucking wobbly cam.
So for some reason, our dude, Uwe Boll, decided to direct this entire movie...
In handheld.
Handheld.
So the whole thing, like, there's no craft to anything. It's just handheld and, like, gray and brown.
You know what's weird? I didn't notice any crane shots. I didn't
no.
notice any tracking shots. I didn't notice... Any, like, still
any,
shots?
Any it was, craft.
It was literally an hour and a half of just handheld.
Handheld!
But I wonder if it's because he couldn't afford anything else. Like, he couldn't afford tripods or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So he just had to have, like, rig it to him and have handheld. So you get this weird, like, it's kind of unsettling.
It's annoying
like,
is what
this,
it
like,
is.
Like, shifty camera the whole time. It's not shaky cam, but it's shifty.
It's annoying.
It's shifty cam.
Oh,
TM.
My God. Well, until people start walking, then whoever's holding it loses their fucking mind.
I know. It's like each footfall, like, rattles the guy. So it's like, he, like, just, like, starts flailing the camera.
Yeah. But, hey, hour and a half of wobbly cam and everything being gray and brown and dark. It like, there's just, eh.
You can tell we really loved the movie.
Yeah.
That we're shitting on it for almost fucking, like, 10 minutes straight in the beginning of the episode.
Okay, here's the thing. Before we start, I'm just going to mention right now, because I'm sure someone out there, some little person out there would have this question. Why is blood rain in the Wild West? I don't fucking know. They never tell you. Don't bother.
I don't know either. Like, there's no, like, they didn't do anything where it's like, oh, blood rain... You know, last we saw her, she was here, and now, through all this time jump, she's here. There's no explanation. We're just supposed to, like, be like, okay, she's here.
No, but you know what you get during the lovely opening credits, Will?
Pictures.
Again.
We get pictures, but this isn't, like, tapestries anymore. This is
pictures.
Like, this is, like, pictures of the Old West.
Actual, like, historic photographs.
That Uwe Boll probably just Googled Wild West pictures and just took a bunch of free use pictures off the internet and just slapped them into his movie.
And that's, yeah. Because,
like, none of the pictures have anything to do with each other.
No.
It's, like, people standing on railroads, and then there's, like, other, like, woodworkers, and, like, it's all Wild West pictures.
Sure.
But they're all, like, in sepia tone, and, like, it's
that's
just,
sick. To make it look old, Will.
Well, and, like, all the credits are in, like, a brown font, and, like...
Yeah.
Like, all, like, it looked like they, like, are, like, hot ironed on... Not even that. They couldn't even, like, I don't know, like...
Nothing! They couldn't do
nothing.
So
we start
nothing.
Off not exciting, because the credits, nothing happens.
Oh, but then, don't worry about it, because we get a scene, and it's like, this could be good. This could be a good scene. But no, the scene sets the tone.
This whole movie. This movie could have been pretty good.
Could have been fun.
Wild West Vampires. It could have been fun. It could have been an enjoyable ride.
Imagine like Magnificent Seven with vampires.
But, Alex, look at
it's Uwe Boll.
Look at who it's helmed by.
I know.
It's Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
He's incapable.
No, he's not.
So
the first fucking scene.
Okay, so we get a family finishing up a dinner in a small wood cottage, and there's snow everywhere.
Talking about how hard winter is.
So the kids are playing on the bed, and the wife and husband are talking about how they can't grow anything because it's such a harsh winter, and they didn't expect snow to be this, like, no. Keep in mind,
yes,
there is snow everywhere, like, covered in snow, right? Okay, that's going to be important later on. So, they're talking about that, and then the husband, my God, the husband starts hearing this, like, shrieking sound and horses, and says, oh, that must be that damn bear again. Like, wow, okay, we didn't hear any bear growls, but okay. Yeah.
Well, so
he gets his shotgun, and he walks outside, and then he doesn't come back, and the woman is scared, so she hears the shrieking and the horse thing again, so she goes outside, and the kids just keep playing, and then they hear a swooshing sound.
And then they're like, let's go under the bed.
So they go under the bed, and then we get a guy that walks in. Now,
fuck.
I didn't know it at the beginning, but we are introduced to Billy the Kid.
The man.
The man, the myth, the legend, Billy the Kid. Yeah, you know those old Wild West tales about Billy the Kid? Well, we get a whole different version of him here.
A whole different one.
So he walks in. We don't know it's Billy the Kid yet, but... So he walks in, and he, like, sits on the bed, right? And then he gets up, and the kids are all scared, and he walks to the chair, and then sits on the arm of the chair.
This starts a theme, though. This starts a theme.
Because Billy the Kid doesn't like looking at things, I guess?
Because he's like, oh, kids, like, things will happen. And then two Goombas walk in, and he just, like, points at the bed. And they grab the kids.
All but the kid is just like sitting on the arm of the chair, looking at like nothing, while behind him, these two goons are like abducting these kids out of the. And this is a theme because he likes to turn his back because he's menacing, Alex.
He's
so scary, he doesn't even have to look at his bad deeds.
Every time some shit's happening, he's got his back turned. And it's the most annoying shit ever.
It really is.
But again, like. I'll stop after this scene because this was like I mean, this is how I knew. A scene could be good, right? Family having dinner on a farm in the West. They start hearing noises. Husband goes outside to look for this, and then like something happens.
We could even done like the cliche where it's like the guy like hears like a weird noise, so he goes to investigate it, and like maybe his livestock is all dead.
Yeah.
Or, like, some weird shit is going on. And so he looks around, and then you get a close-up of him, like, reacting to something.
And right? Then the wife is
And then, like,
at
you
home.
See blood, like, splatter across, yeah. like one of the barn doors or something. So you're like, oh, shit, stuff's going on. And then the wife gets worried because the husband hasn't come back for, like, a few hours.
And then she's, like, then talking to the kids, like, calming them down. And then let's say the husband's body flies through the window.
Or his head.
Yeah.
Throw his head through the window.
And
the
like,
kids get, like horrified.
Yeah.
So they immediately have to get under the bed because the mom knows there's imminent danger.
Yeah.
Like, you could have made this.
Like that.
We literally just
brainstormed. We did it! We did it for him!
Now, tell me ours didn't sound at least a little more compelling.
Than just... Guy goes outside. Woman goes outside.
Kids aren't really worried. They get under the bed.
Asshole sits
on the bed and then walks forward and just sits on a chair right in front of the bed he was just sitting on.
And he's like, take them, bye. End scene.
End scene. That's the whole scene.
That's it. That's the whole scene.
So, yeah, we will stop explaining how scenes could have been better because obviously the whole fucking movie... It's just like...
Because you could do it all day. All fucking day, bro.
You just pick apart any scene in this movie and just be like, okay, well, that could have been done better. That could have been way done better.
This could have been better. This whole thing could have been better.
Mm-hmm. I would have done it, like, you know, way better.
Anything.
And we're like, I haven't even made a movie. And here we are. thinking of better ideas. Okay.
Is the next scene the fucking town?
Yep.
Yeah.
So now we get Billy the... So now we get a scene of a bar. It's a saloon.
Yeah.
Sorry. Because, you know, in every Wild West film, we have to have a saloon.
And there's, like, they're cleaning up after the night, and, like, the sheriff or whoever the fuck is going to bed.
So the sheriff walks across, and then the bartender tells his wife?
Person.
We don't know if it's the wife, or it's probably just one of the, like, the floozies in the saloon.
I don't know, Will.
Or whore. I don't know who she is. It never explains her significance in anything. And I don't know why the bartender has any significance.
Because he's a bartender.
Because he's a nice guy in the movie, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So the sheriff is going to go and, you know, the bartender's like, oh, well, you can stay here if you'd like. Even though his house is, like, literally, like, a few paces away from the fucking saloon.
Yeah.
And, the sheriff is like, well, Susie is, like, his sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah, he keeps...
or Susie, or whatever he names it. Susie prefers, like, sleeping in her own bed.
And then he leaves.
And then he leaves, and he just walks across the town.
We get, the mayor talking to the fucking writer.
He's, like, a journalist from, like, Chicago.
And he's writing about the Wild West.
He wants to get tales of, like, the extravagant in the Wild West.
Yeah.
To take back to Chicago with him. So, Sheriff goes in the house, and then we get fucking Billy the Kid and his gang come in. And they're fucking, like herding all these children in. And, like, not... And then, I guess they took other children from the village, the town, too.
They've been taking children from, like, everywhere, I guess.
But it didn't really show them taking the children from the town. They just did.
Eventually, the fucking sheriff confronts Billy the Kid.
And gets
knocked. By the way, when, like, anytime before this, though, when they're doing anything, Billy the Kid's back is turned because he's scary.
So, sheriff looks at him and takes Susie out. And, like, is gonna fire at Billy the Kid. He's like, let those kids go. And then Billy the Kid starts walking towards him and roaring. And he's like,
and,
like,
and just bites him.
Like, and then, like, the sheriff shoots him in an attempt to stop him. Bullets go right through him because bullets don't affect him. Remember this.
Bullets don't affect
bullets
him.
Bullets don't affect Billy the
they
Kid.
Affect...
They don't even stagger him.
Nope.
They don't stun him or anything. They just go right through him.
It's pointless.
So he bites, and so just remember that. So he bites the sheriff. Sheriff is under his control now. And then they go and hijack one of the big buildings, the mayor's office, because he controls the mayor too. Or the mayor's scared.
He's scared, yeah.
Yeah, so the mayor's scared. So Billy the Kid and his, like, gang all take the kids into this fucking barn.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Then...
Now we get a field.
Oh, and Blood Rain is riding across it on a horse.
Now, this could have been the perfect... I know we said we didn't do this, but this would have been the perfect opportunity to explain where the fuck Rain has been the entire... For, like, hundreds of years.
Nope. They don't. What we get is she goes to the house in the beginning of the movie. Looks around.
And apparently these people...
were taking care of her.
Friends?
They were her friends or something.
So
her exact line later is, "They're the closest thing she had to family."
But we have there's no
indication.
There's no. We're just led to assume that.
Yes.
Because we have to.
Because
just
she said so.
We have to just take her at her word.
Yeah.
There's no establishing shot of them being friends or anything.
But she finds their bodies, and she also finds Pat Garrett.
Here we go. Pat Garrett is here. Even though, I mean, you would have never noticed unless he just said Pat Garrett.
Unless I read it in the credits.
So, she's, like, leaning over and inspecting their bodies because she knows it's vampires, obviously. And he's like...
Well, again, her blades are dull again.
He's like, she, like, almost, like, hits him in the... She almost, like, cuts him in the crotch and he's like, no, I'm here to help you. Like, I'm here to, like, you know...
But you need help.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, you need to go into the town of
Deliverance. Like the title.
So
there is one. The only thing worth mentioning in this scene, though, is every time she like pulls the blades up to him to threaten him, it does the most comical whooshing sound.
It's when she takes them out of the seat,
yeah,
it's always like shring. Like,
yeah,
it's like this like really dramatic like blade drawing sound. It's like almost cartoony in a way.
She moves it like a foot.
Yeah,
and it's like
my favorite part in this scene though is when the they're walking back to the horses. She's carrying her blade, and she walks behind the horse, and just instantly it makes a shwink, and then like a it's like the blade is just in her pouch again.
Within like a millisecond.
It's like, yeah, it's like her arm doesn't even, you can see,
yeah,
her arm doesn't even move, and the arm, then the fucking sword is back in the seat.
It's fine.
So anyway, they ride to Deliverance to confront Billy the Kid.
Billy the Kid.
So she goes into the saloon, and I love the, these are the only things we can make fun of, so I'm going to highlight them.
The sound?
Yeah, the sound effects.
So
the sound design is, like, the worst I've ever heard in a movie.
For people who don't know, there's a thing called Foley in movies.
Yes.
Like, when they're not using, like, live sounds for certain things, they put in Foley for, like, usually sounds that are, like, background.
But they...
So, when cars open and close in movies, it's usually Foley, because obviously cars don't open and close that loud.
Here's the thing with Foley, though.
It's subtle.
You have to make it sound organic.
Like, it's there.
Like, it's naturally occurring in the movie.
Yeah.
Because you want to suspend people's disbelief that this is a movie. You want to get them immersed into your film.
Yes. Like, when, if you're watching a movie and, like, a character watches, it's like a shot from outside of a car, and the car stops and turns off. Like, that's Foley, because they don't have a microphone recording the car stopping.
Sometimes you'll use Foley for, like, glass breaking, it's, like, plastic glass or like a bottle breaking, but it sounds organic because they do it at the exact moment that
when someone loads a gun off screen. Like, yes. It's, again, you want it to sound like it's in there.
Or in like modern samurai movies, like when the blade connects with the hilt.
Yeah.
When it makes that clicking sound, when it like has the sword and the clicking sound.
Yeah.
That's Foley.
But it's fine.
It's
but
fine.
In this
it
movie,
works in every
just
other
understand
movie except for this.
That this movie is an hour and a half of the most exaggerated shit. So when the saloon doors open, it's like a fucking hurricane.
I swear to God, it's like, it doesn't sound organic at all.
Yeah.
So she walks into the saloon.
After she gets threatened.
Yes.
By the now, right, yeah, the now vampire sheriff, I guess.
Yep, so the sheriff's gonna keep an eye on her. So she goes in, she goes to the bar, and she orders something, and some sleazebag guy comes up.
Yeah.
And starts talking to her, and she looks in the mirror, and
he's not
invisible.
Which can
you
I
can
just,
only see his clothes?
Can I just say something? Why is she visible? Is because she's half semen.
She's half. Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't understand that either. Because it's like, if she even has a little bit of vampire, she wouldn't be seeable in a mirror.
Apparently
but
she
I
is,
think
though.
They did them in the first one, if I'm not mistaken.
I try not to remember the first one.
Because I think I remember them all hanging out, and they see in the mirror that someone's a vampire, but Rain's still visible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
We'll never know.
So she like, he's like, well, you want to play some poker? She like knocks him down and like puts a bar stool on his neck.
And he tells her like, "Well, I just want to play a game. I want to finish the poker game."
Well, apparently she kind of sneaks into the town under the guise that she's collecting a bounty on this guy for some reason.
I guess.
I don't know.
Who the fuck cares? Going on. Because they sit down to play poker, and what happens? She wins.
She wins, so he thinks she's cheating, so he
and he not
he doesn't. You know in Western movies when they flip over the poker table and the whole table flips?
It's like a table. It's an actual table.
So he flips the poker thing, but it's just a cover on the table and it looks plastic.
And the table's just there. It's fine. But they had to get that dramatic shot.
I don't think that existed.
I doubt it did.
I doubt that existed.
But here's the thing. Uwe Boll wanted his dramatic shot of him flipping the poker over.
Yes, he did. And he, I mean, it's really lame, but he got something.
And they go have a duel.
Yeah, so they go outside, and he's about to draw on her, and she's just, like...
It keeps zooming in on his face.
She's just calm, and so he draws her, his gun, like, and she draws it, like, incredible... Did you notice how slowly she draws the gun and fires?
But she, like, but apparently it's faster.
He would have definitely won that duel.
Nope, he wouldn't have, Will, because... You forget.
Movie magic.
They everyone who dies in the movie operates in slow motion.
Yes.
This is the first time we see the slow motion.
So she shoots him, and he just dies in slow-mo. And then two of his lackeys come out, the ones he was talking to at the bar, and they're pissed. So they try and fire on
her. And she shoots him.
And she blasts him.
In slow motion.
In slow motion. They both die in slow motion.
And when they die, they make comical vampire squealing noises. Just to, in case you forgot it, that this happened to be a vampire movie.
It kind of sounds like a pig squeal.
Yeah.
If you want some, like, connection to
it. Or like a horse whining.
Yeah. So and, the sheriff comes out and he's like, I've had about a goddamn enough of this shit. And then...
You woke up Susie.
You woke up Susie, and she doesn't take too kindly to people like you.
And she starts fighting, like, two of the sheriff's lackeys.
And the sheriff just, like...
Baps her on the head.
Bops her with the hilt.
And that's it.
And it's like, I told you not to upset Susie.
And then they take her to jail.
Yep.
With another... which happens to have another prisoner in there?
Who... Things are too convenient in this film, too. So
Billy the Kid happens to Billy the Kid happens to send the reporter in there to snitch, I guess. I don't know why he cares.
So
whatever.
He wants to send the reporter in so the reporter will get information about who they are so he can take it back to Billy the Kid for some reason, because at the beginning of the film Billy the Kid was gonna kill the reporter. And I was like, oh, writing is your passion? And the guy's like, yeah. And really the kid's like, well, lay witness to the greatest story ever foretold.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot that part. Now apparently the reporter is Billy the Kid's lackey, even though that lasts for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because
he goes there and they start, she and the other prisoner...
So we don't know who the other prisoner is yet.
Until he mentions that he's part of the Brimstone Society.
So he has a necklace, and she's like, oh, look at my neck, too. And he looks, he like reaches
in. He reaches down her fucking boobs and grabs it.
Her arms are binded. So he...
Well, don't and then after this, he steals the fucking reporter's glasses and then undoes her clasp.
Well, in everything the reporter writes, he steals the paper and rips it up. And it happens, like, 3 times. Like, that's supposed to be funny or something. I don't know. I don't know what they're actually going for. Then he unlocks the... Okay, so he unlocks...
Yes.
The
handcuffs, whatever.
Or whatever they are. And then two goons come in.
Not yet.
Oh, you're right.
Don't forget. This is where they talk about his plan.
Oh, yes.
Because for some reason, the other prisoner knows everything about Billy the Kid. His plan is that he is going to camp out in this town until they build the railroad. And that's why he wants everything to seem normal, so that when they come to build the railroad, they're not like, oh, this is fucked up, we're not building it here. So that when they build it, he'll be able to get all the fresh meat he needs and travel everywhere, even though the whole movie, there's no indication that there's any problem with him traveling.
There is no problem with him traveling, because we've seen him travel from that house.
This is like a 5 minute.
To a village. And I should mention what's the town's name? Why am I? Deliverance.
Yeah.
Deliverance is not covered in snow, by the way. I should mention. We forgot to mention that. Because everything else is covered in snow except for Deliverance. So, now... I love it in lazy movies when people don't know how to write or anything. How we just get a scene of just a bunch of people just screaming exposition at each other. Just like left and right, we just get a bunch of people just saying what's happening in the movie because they don't have the wherewithal to actually show all this stuff.
this, I want to say that this scene is like 10 minutes long. It's
and
insane.
It's just exposition. It's literally just people talking about what's happening in the movie.
Until the idiots come in and take the other prisoner and take him to the gallows.
So they take him to the gallows and they hang him in front of the whole village.
And then they go to get Rain and they get her up there. We see a guy with a rifle that's about to like shoot at her, and it's Pat Garrett, and you're like, oh, he's going
to
free her.
And then the sheriff is like, Mayor, you have to read this. And then, you know, Mayor starts saying, like, oh, we're going to hang you for, what was it? Like,
disturbing
debauchery or something like
something that? Something like that,
yeah. Some stupid shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, she, like, unloosens one of her restraints.
And as the gallows drop,
she hangs onto it.
She grabs it. And then flips up and cuts it with her shoes?
How? And then she falls down and thwaps one of the guys with the rope and then pulls it around his neck and that kills him somehow? I don't know. They don't... Because he's just dead.
Oh, and then she, like, just kind of, like, looks at the sheriff and then does, like... And then
you just see a V on his neck and he starts bleeding out.
And then she jumps in the fucking swamp and swims away.
Well, no. So, and then we get Billy the Kid, remember? Because he comes...
Oh, yeah, with the kids.
He comes with the kids and to show off.
To show them...
And then he's like, blobbity blobbity blah, I'm evil. And then he's like...
Oh, I should probably mention that in the middle of this nonsense, Billy the Kid killed one of the kids, like, drank their blood.
Yes.
And their wound is apparently magic because the fucking...
It
wound
moves.
Changes sides.
He goes from, like, the center of her neck to, like, the left side.
And then after he kills that kid in front of all the other kids, he takes the rest of them to go watch a hanging, and then he's like, oh, you know this person.
He sounds like fucking, like your stereotypical, I want to suck your blood. I want to load a six shooter and shoot you.
No, he's Billy the Kid.
He's Count Chocula the Kid.
It's legit.
He's Count Dracula the Kid. So he just says some shit to Rain and has a bunch of people go after her, and she jumps in the river, a pond.
And then
it's like
away.
A little pond.
Yeah.
And then she swims away while guys dance shoot at her. Because they do this thing where they like pivot their hips back.
Every time
and like,
they shoot.
Every time they shoot, they pivot their hips forward
Someone,
to shoot.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you gotta make this look real because the guns aren't real. So you got.
You gotta look like you're into it.
Just get really into it. Just swing your arms, swing your hips, do whatever you want.
Then after this, after she swims away, we get...
Pat Garrett saves her.
Not yet. We get a... Well, yeah, he saves her, but we also get a shot.
So he pulls her out of the pond, and now we get this shot.
We get a shot of two Native Americans on a, like, canoe, and then that's it. Why was that in there? I don't know.
No,
I don't fucking know.
We get a shot of two other Native Americans later.
Later.
But that's the only instance of Native Americans in this world.
Why, that's in there. I was like, okay, they better not do like some white dude in brown face, but they don't even...
Because he's like, Uwe Boll was like, obviously Western tropes add Native Americans, so here
right.
we go.
Right, okay. Because my brain's too small to understand.
Because whoever threw this script away added probably some significance to those
possibly
Native Americans. But Uwe wanted...
We only had an hour and a half.
Uwe Boll wanted vampires, so he erased them out of the movie.
But he left the scene in.
But don't worry, he left the scene in and he filmed it. So they're at a campfire, or camp, and she's laying on the ground and like starts like writhing. And she's like, blood, I need... Blood.
He's like, are you a vampire?
I need
half semen.
She's all slurring, and I shit you not, it literally sounds like half semen.
She says half human, but it just sounds like half semen.
Half semen.
So I'm gonna keep saying it. And then Pat Garrett is just like, okay.
I legitimately thought that she said half semen, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
But Pat Garrett's like, okay, fine.
He's like, whatever, and then so he just cuts his forearm, and like, the blood like drips all over her mouth and like it gets into her and she's like ah, and she like starts grabbing for Pat and like he's like, no, that's enough, that's enough,
I'll put it in a cup next time.
And then she's like, yeah,
give it to me,
like, god, it's blood, not like blood is covering her whole mouth. And yeah, so that scene ends, and then they're just gonna ride and find some people to help
first
them.
She's like, after that they're like, we need help for this. Like,
well, no. So one of them says they need guns, and then the other, Pat is like, "Well, we need also people to help."
And then she's like, "Well, who would help us?"
And so he just pulls out a wanted poster, and they're like, "This guy."
And then they go to this church in the middle of nowhere,
where a guy's overacting a sermon.
This guy's great, and he's going ham. He was like, I am in a movie.
Take like an evangelical like showman preacher and like amplify him to like 11.
It's great.
And there it is. He's like literally like one of the only entertaining things in the movie.
This is one of the only truly entertaining performances in the movie. Because he gives no shits and it's great.
But they forget about him real quick, so
yes.
So don't get used to it.
Don't get used to this.
So he like, so he gives his sermon, and then he passes around the
donations.
The donations, and like empties all their pockets, and then is like collecting all the money, while Rain and Pat
he's
are just
counting
sitting
the
there.
Money, and then Rain and Pat Garrett put like a wanted poster in the donation thing, and he looks at it, and we see that the whole time, he's been counting the money. He thought he was alone.
That means he collected the donation. Everyone started leaving.
And they just sat there
and he didn't care.
He did not give a shit.
He didn't even question it.
No, he was like, whatever. They'll leave.
So they go up to the pew. And then they're like, hey, like, well, we can do this one of three ways, not two ways.
Here's the funny thing. The two ways all involve him dying, and then the other
way
we
can shoot you, we can take you in, and then they can hang you,
or you help us fight vampires.
Or you can help us fight vampires. And the guy's like, well, I don't want to die,
so I'll help you fight vampires.
Vampires.
Praise Jesus. And then literally next scene, they're outside of like a building.
This is the final
appearance of the
Native Americans,
because they just walk past.
Yep.
But they're like outside of a building, and then she's like, I'll get him by myself, we need him.
This is literally the how this movie is going, because they don't explain anything.
Like, at least that last guy, there was like a wanted poster, there was a conversation. With this one, it's just unprompted. Who the fuck is he? I don't know.
But they go into this...
It's like a whorehouse.
Whorehouse, and Rain is like, where is this guy? And the girl, one of the girls comes out with a tray of whiskey.
And then
Rain
takes
awkwardly holds it while the...
trying not to spill it.
Well, like, they're both holding it, like, mid-air, like, awkwardly, like, trying to, like, balance it between each other. And the preacher comes up and is like, oh, hey, I'm going to take you, like, yeah.
Want to
like,
touch my Bible?
Want to touch my Bible? And they go into a room. And
they have sex.
And then Rain goes into another room.
And then there's Post Malone on the bed. And he's like, oh, you
it's
look like fun.
Total sleaze bag.
And she, like, gets on him, ties his arms up, and again, sticks a gun in his mouth and is like, you die or you help
you
us fight vampires.
You die or you help us fight vampires.
And he's like, fine, I'll help.
He's like, okay.
Can I still get half sex?
You're still gonna fuck me, right? And the Rain's like, I know.
End scene.
And while they're walking out of the whorehouse, you hear the preacher, like, she's like, oh, preacher. And he's like, hallelujah. Oh my god, this movie is so dumb. One uninspired piece of garbage.
Then after this, you get a fucking... They're like hanging out in a barn or something. And Pat Garrett brings out a fucking box full of garlic cloves, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then Rain is like, okay, you're all part of the
You're part of the thing. You're the only ones that care about this town, even though we're basically forcing you to fight with us.
So you're all part of this Brimstone Society, and then they have the preacher bless the water.
All of a sudden, I guess the preacher and the sleazebag are totally into it, because they're like, yeah, like, you know,
this
we
is
care.
Great.
I feel so great about joining the Brimstone Society.
It's like, yeah, this is great. It's fine.
And then begin raid on town. This is the final confrontation.
What is there even to say? Like,
okay,
everyone dies in slow motion. End movie.
So
dicks.
I don't know. They go in. The two dudes go off somewhere, and an attempt at banter is made.
Yeah, they split up.
And then the sheriff goes somewhere and fights a bunch of dudes. The two other dudes that aren't supposed to even really be there because they were threatened on death. But then they go out valiantly because they want to fight vampires all of a sudden. Even though they could have just run away at any point because this town's kind of empty and there's not a lot of lackeys to kill. Like, in all these epic shootouts, you see a lot of extras, right? There's
yes.
a shit ton of people, like, getting murked off, like, buildings, and it's really, like, a spectacular showdown, right?
Well, I want to point out something. There is something I want to point out, though, especially when it comes to, like, westerns. Any western shootout, I just want to pay
homage.
I want to point out something.
Okay.
Have you noticed every big western shootout is set in the daytime?
Yeah, so you can see everything.
What did this movie do?
Shot it at nighttime. Because vampires can't come out during the daytime.
Unless you're Rain. Then
yes.
It's fine.
And you're seen in mirrors for some reason.
Yeah. But again, every fucking western shootout is in daytime. Every single one. And then this movie comes along and is like, fuck it. Night. Can't see shit.
So, the two dudes, like, fight off a bunch of vampires and get killed in the process, die in slow motion, and react really slowly to things.
Oh my god, I'll just say this, because, like, they get, like, cornered in a barn, and they're standing there, and then they're just like, yeah. And then the other one's like, yeah.
While eating a cracker.
And the other one's smoking, and then they fucking turn around and shoot, like, three people, and then one guy just blast the Gatling gun.
The guy on the Gatling gun looks like bored out of his fucking soul. Like, he just like doesn't even care about anything. He's like, god damn it, I'm in a fucking Uwe Boll film. I do not want to fucking be here, but I'm getting paid for this.
I got cast in this movie and all I do is just roll the Gatling gun.
Be in the movie, they said. Be an extra, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
It'll be fun.
First cast and last cast as an actor is in a Uwe Boll film. Because your credibility just tanks after that. So,
the fucking funniest, though, is the one guy, sleazebag, gets like 50 shots and then reacts
and
like 5 seconds later.
Well, like he stands there while all these bullets hit his body. He just stands there and then like 5 seconds later, then he like reacts.
Flails his arms.
Flails and falls on the ground.
While the preacher is just injured, and then eventually he like runs out, kills a guy.
He gets
and
then murked.
Takes out a fucking cross. The cross is actually a knife. Stabs another guy.
So all gets murked. While all this is going on, the townspeople are trying to grapple with trying to go out and fight, and like the reporter dude is like, we should go out and fight, we need to do this, we need to go out and fight. So him and the mayor go out and fight. The mayor gets killed, and what does he do? He runs back in the saloon.
Yeah.
So then I guess now there's only Billy the Kid after like all the 10 people that were actually like in the town.
All the vampires are dead.
Like, there was, like, 10 vampires.
They're all dead.
At that. If that. There was, like, maybe 7.
No, they're all dead.
They're all dead.
But
how easy?
Here's the thing. All while this is happening, Rain is in Billy the Kid's house.
Oh, yeah. She gets to Billy the Kid's house, and there's a trap for her.
He has a rig where, when she opens the door, it's going to hang every kid all at once. And then she stands there holding it, like, while they talk, and everyone else outside dies.
So they talk, everyone else outside dies, she lets Billy suck one of their, like, the kid's neck.
And then Billy stops.
And then she does this flippy dippy maneuver where she cuts everyone loose.
And then it's like, you could have just done that at any time, but whatever.
She literally could have done it at any time, and that kid didn't have to die.
Drama.
We needed drama.
Apparently. But then they fight. It's bad. He kicks her outside.
He has two knives. Bad. She's doing her swords. He, like, they run at each other. She puts her swords up. He, like, puts his knives out.
And then the fucking knives break.
And then she's like, holding him on the ground and is going to strike him down. And he pulls out two guns. And then he gets up and they're facing off against each other. And then we see the fucking sheriff guy in the bar. No, it's
fucking Pat Garrett.
Pat Garrett.
He's in the barn on the Gatling gun.
And he gets in the Gatling gun. And I should mention, this is the setup for this scene. Oh, God. Oh, my God. So, Billy the Kid is facing Rain.
Yes.
And all the townspeople are right in front of Billy the Kid, including Rain.
Yes.
So, Pat Garrett is directly behind them in the Gatling gun.
And just blasts.
So, assuming that the bullets go straight through...
Nope.
Go straight through Billy the Kid, right? They're going to hit Rain, and they're going to hit all the village people. But, because of movie magic, they only hit Billy the Kid, who... before never got affected by bullets, but now all of a sudden gets staggered by them because convenience. And then Rain breaks off a shovel and then stabs it into the guy. Stabs it into Billy the Kid, and Billy's dead. And then, oh my God.
Can I just say something though?
I wish that was the end of the movie.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
Earlier in the movie, a character mentions Billy the Kid, and we see it too, that Billy the Kid is not affected by bullets in any way.
Yeah. But now all of a sudden he's staggered because of convenience.
Lovely.
Because, like, because how else are you going to explain that?
And then the end, fucking Rain is leaving, and she's like, yeah, I heard there's, like, vampire trouble in Tombstone.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp is fighting him.
And then she goes away.
And now Wyatt Earp is a fucking vampire hunter.
Fine. And then, you know what, Will?
Oh, my
Will?
God. Can I deliver this one?
Give him the line. This is... right. I want to say, this is how the movie says goodbye to us.
So we get the reporter who has just become the sheriff and Pat Garrett walking back to the saloon. Right? I'm going to set this up for you. Mm-hmm. There's the whole town of Deliverance right there. We get a wide shot of Pat Garrett and the reporter walking back to the saloon. And, you know, Rain is already gone. And Pat Garrett leans over to Newton, who is the reporter, and says, you know, Newton, life is like a penis. When it's hard, you get screwed. When it's soft, you can't beat it.
End movie.
End movie.
Okay.
You know what? This movie is a giant penis. Not in a good way either. But like, if you're into that stuff, and you know, this is a giant, just spiked penis.
Nope. Disagree. This movie is a micro penis.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's true.
You can't beat it, and you can't get fucked.
And you can't satisfy anyone.
It's just a tiny, flaccid micro penis. That is the movie.
This movie it doesn't work.
No.
Nothing in this movie. They don't explain anything. And no characters get any development.
No.
And it's just stuff just happens for no reason.
But we're still expected to care.
We're expected to care about the characters. And we're expected to be like, oh, yeah, no, that's believable. You know, like, you know, I get it. It's a vampire movie and it's set in the Wild West. But make it more exciting. It's a fucking Wild West vampire movie, and you failed to make it even the, like, a minute
even the slightest,
amount entertaining.
Yeah. Even the slightest
bit of entertaining. Like, you couldn't make it anything? Really? This is what you made.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what you've made, Uwe. I just want to...
Well, there's still one more.
If you're listening, look at what you've done. Are you proud of you're proud of watching this movie and being like, oh yeah, people are going to love this straight-to-video Blood Rain?
Yeah, like, when you finished this and you were watching it, presumably, presumably you watched this.
Do you think he even screen tests? Come on, I don't think he does.
Not screen tests, but I'm assuming he watched it.
Do you think? I don't even know if he does. He just probably gives it to his producer and is like, hey, do something with this.
They're just like, okay. Straight to video.
They're like, all right. And then they don't edit anything and they just straight to video.
Good. I want the unedited. I want the raw.
Then he goes to his, like, his cousin that's not too smart. And he's like, hey, can you sound edit this for me? And the cousin's like, I don't know how to sound edit. And
exactly.
He's like, it's okay. I'm sure you'll do fine.
You'll figure it out.
Just add sound effects in for me, please. He's like, okay, I guess. And he was watching, like, cartoons and recording off the TV of, like, swords being drawn. This movie is soulless. This is clearly someone who is very incompetent at making movies, trying to, like, relive the glory days of when he was scheming governments out of
money. When he was scamming governments out of tax money, yeah. Fucking hack, and now it's like the money's run out, and this is you.
This is it. This was his chance to be like, okay, this is here's my the thing. Film.
You don't need money to make a great movie, but
it's been proven time and time again.
You don't need it.
You don't need a big budget to make a compelling story.
But when this you have nothing,
this is the farthest thing from compelling.
When you have no talent, when you are a fucking hack fraud. This is what you produce.
Like...
garbage.
Doing this shit-rospective, I don't know how this man has made so many fucking movies. Like, he does not stop. It is relentless. He just...
I know, every fucking year.
And no one fucking likes them, but he's like, oh, I'm gonna keep making them just in case. And they just don't fucking... like, I...
just in case.
You can tell the money ran dry, and he had no fucking clue how to make this movie.
He didn't know.
Like, it took 3 fucking people to write this piece of garbage?
Oh, yeah!
3 people! I'm guessing one of them was the person that threw it in the garbage saying it was a bad idea, and then Uwe stole it from the garbage and had 2 other guys edit it. He's like, here, I got this script that someone else wrote and threw it in the garbage because it was a shit pile of an idea. Can you try and make this comprehensible?
No.
And they're like, no, we can't. And then he's like, great, do it.
He's like, ah, it's fine.
He's like, it's fine. I mean, just
add vampires.
And then add a dick joke at the end. That'll be funny. And then make banter where one guy goes under and the other guy goes over.
You could have gone under?
Yeah. The attempt at banter.
Attempt.
It was an attempt. It fell flat on its ass, but it was an attempt.
Oh, boy.
This whole movie is just a fucking attempt.
I'm not even going to bother rating this or any of his fucking movies.
Okay, by this point, if you've been following the podcast...
you know.
You fucking know what we're going to rate this piece of dog shit.
You know, I cannot wait to get back to our regularly scheduled programming.
I'm actually excited to start watching other I can't even call them shit anymore, because we've seen real shit.
We've seen shit, but boy oh boy oh boy,
it's better.
This is not it.
I just, yeah, that's Blood Rain 2. We got a third one to go, too. That's going to be later. Oh, my God. Why did we do this?
Why? We decided to do this.
Why did we decide?
As a 100-episode special. And now, the only positive thing is we never have to watch any of these again.
We're reaping what we sow.
Yeah.
We're getting what we deserve, Alex.
But at the end of the day, fuck you, Wibble.
Fuck you so hard.
Fuck you.
You are a talentless hack.
Like, I know you quit. You quit filmmaking and you blamed everyone on the planet but yourself.
Even though it's clearly your
fault. Nobody wanted to fund your fucking Kickstarter because... you know why? Because you fucking suck!
He is literally the worst director on the planet.
Yeah, at least...
I dare people to give me a worse director.
At least Ed Wood loved his movies.
When at least, okay, he loved his movies, and there is some sort of, like, this is really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But for some reason, parts of it are, like, hilariously bad.
Yeah. Hey, he had passion for his film.
You know what, Uwe
Boll, passion is there in this bullshit?
The hope to make money? That's it.
That's it.
The hope. This didn't make money. No. Thank God.
From here on out, it's all a downhill swoop.
And it's already been downhill ever since
it started. I mean, yeah.
It started downhill, and now we're just falling through the middle of the earth.
I think it's a good, I think it's a good line to end it on.
Yep. All right. This has been Will.
This has been Alex. We'll be back with...
We'll be back with better movies.
Yes, we will.
And do not watch this movie.
Don't watch any
I'm not
of
even
these.
Gonna tell you where the fuck to find it. You can find it yourself.
I don't want you to.
But just
you
don't.
You shouldn't.
Don't torture yourself. You have an hour and a half of your life. Don't waste it on this movie.
Don't do it.
We did, so you don't have to. This is They Mostly Come Out at Night. We will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye. Beepus.
Fucking hard beepus.
Beepus. Semen.
Half semen.
Half semen.